Have you ever used Cliff Notes or Spark Notes? Just raise your hand if you have. Okay, now second question, quickly. How old, when did they begin using Cliff Notes and Spark Notes? I mean, many years? Because I know I used them in college back in 2002 to 2006. I've seen other hands raise up for earlier than that. I just ask that because I want to go through like a little Spark Notes or Cliff Notes through our salvation history of how we got to our reading today. Our reading today, our first reading, was in the first book of Samuel, and we come out with kind of this maybe random situation between Saul and David. So Saul was the first king of the Israelites, and David eventually became the second. I also have to shout out that the newest baby in our church name is David. So he could be our next president someday, I guess. A king. It was really bizarre what was going on, and I want to get kind of the back noise and the back situations, because in the beginning there was no king. When God created Adam and Eve, there was just harmony. It was just God and Adam and Eve. And then they sinned, and then things got crazy. And they went out of Edom, or the Eden, the Garden of Eden. Then you go through the history, and we know that they grew, the Hebrews grew, and then they became slaves in Egypt. So that'd be in the book of Exodus. And God called a prophet named Moses. Again, he was not a king, but a prophet, and his little brother Aaron, a priest. And they freed from God, from slavery. And of course we know about, they went through the Red Sea from God, Moses, and Aaron. And then they had a promise that they could have promised land. But because they botched again, God walked them through the desert, which was with Moses. And that was the book of Numbers. At the very end of it, when Moses passed away, Aaron passed away, the leadership went to Joshua. So Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible, and led the people into the promised land, which didn't last long. Because then we have the Judges. The book of Judges was the place where Israel kept falling in sin. And there was a cycle of it, that they were in a great place. They started worshiping idols. They lost their land. They lost war. And then they repented themselves, asked God for forgiveness, and he gave them a new judge, the name in that book. Then we come to where we're at today, that we listened. In the beginning, in chapter 8 of the first book of Samuel, the people wanted to be like the rest of the world and have a king. And Samuel was telling them through God that, why have a king, a human king, when you could have God? And again, they chose something else, and God allowed them. He anointed Saul as the first king in Israel. So again, that's where we're at. And what did Saul want to do? Because Saul was not a good king, even though God anointed him. He was jealous. He was weak. And he wouldn't follow God's will. He started worshiping idols. David was serving with Saul. Remember David and Goliath? David was the one that came out to conquer Goliath. And so Saul saw that and wanted David to work with him. Then there was one little song that came out in the public from some ladies that sang, Saul has thousands of people, David has 10,000 people. And Saul heard that, and then he became jealous to the point he wanted to kill David. So what happened here was Saul was taking 3,000 people to try to find David to kill him. And David is running around in the outside, very kind of deserted places. These really cool places. I've been there in Holy Land where there's like these tiny little mountains. And they have, I mean, they go somewhat high and they have these ravines. And you can literally be like 50 yards across the line, but like almost a mile away from each other because you'd have to run down it and run up the other one. So what David did was he and his soldier was going to try to get Saul. He was discerning that. I might kill him. Now all of this is really kind of odd stuff, right? They went over. They stopped. They were all sleeping. And Abishai, who was David's, like the general of his little army, said, "Hey, I'll kill him right now. This will be easy." And David said, "God has delivered your enemy into your grasp this day." This is what Abishai is saying. "Let me nail him to the ground." But David said to Abishai, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" And then David added a little trick. He took Saul's jar of water and his staff. And he went over to the other side. And in the morning, he shouted out to the king, Saul. He showed his power and showing him that this is my possession from you, that I could have killed you, but I did not, because I did not want to hurt the person that God has called as a king. They were acting as enemies, right? They were both enemies to each other. And David became the best king ever, even though he was very sinful. Now let's quickly go to Jesus. Because who did Jesus tell us to be protecting for, to give things away to, and to pray for them? "To you who hear, I say, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Now that is a tough question. So to finish this morning, I would ask you to think, who is your enemy? Obviously, as humans, we have enemies around the world. Who is your enemy? Is it actually a loved one, a brother or sister? Is it your boss? Is it your owner of a business that is trying to cut down another business? Is it somebody on the other side of the political aisle? Who is your enemy? And who are you to do for that person? Think myself how Jesus spoke that even sinners do things like love, giving back money. I know I do that with my brother right now. He needs some money, so I give it to him. No interest, he gives it back. Big deal. My mom and dad are up in International Falls. I'll buy for them dinner. They'll give me back a dinner. Big deal. Who am I myself as a priest to do that to others? My conscience as well is pricked. Who is my enemy, this community or my family, that I have to go beyond just what all sinners do? The show of my love, compassion, and service, even to those I don't like, and they're actually my enemies.